Kinnan cartel is facing its most serious pressure in years. The arrest of Daniel Kinahan in the UAE has raised urgent questions, not just about one man, but about the future of an entire organisation and whether its long-standing base in Dubai is now under threat. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Now, for years, Dubai has been seen as a crucial base for the Kinahan cartel, a place where senior figures could operate with relative freedom while maintaining international connections. But that picture is under renewed scrutiny following the arrest of Daniel Kinahan in the UAE. It raises a wider question, whether Dubai can still function as a safe operational hub for this organisation, or whether the environment is starting to shift under sustained international pressure. There are already signs the group may have been anticipating change. Reports of asset movement, contingency planning for family members, and discussions around potential relocation all point to a criminal network trying to protect its position rather than expand it. But it's not completely clear if this represents retreat. The structure remains intact and the organisation continues to show a level of coordination and adaptability that suggests it is still operationally confident. So the question now is not just whether pressure is increasing, but whether the Kinahan crime gang is being forced into another structural evolution or something way more fundamental. Conor Plunkett from Bellingcat joins us now, whose investigation tracked new footage of senior Kinahan figures in Dubai and what it reveals about the group's current position. Conor, I suppose I just want to remind News Talk Daily listeners about the Kinahan cartel, because I still think there's a lot of people who just think that they operate in the area of drug trafficking. But the organisation has grown way, way beyond that, into arms trafficking and, you know, by extension, money laundering and much, much more. There's a whole network of legitimate businesses, fronts, and indeed the criminal businesses. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, so basically, I'm sure most people know they started in Ireland by Christy Kinahan Sr. And they eventually spread throughout Ireland, Europe, and basically the world. So they were involved in cocaine trafficking. One of the biggest sources of cocaine coming into Europe is basically from the Kinahans. And they then branched off into arms smuggling. And it was in 2022 then when things came to a head, when they were sanctioned by the US government. And there was a $5 million reward put on each of the three Kinahan family members' heads. So that really put them into the big leagues in terms of, it just kind of showed how advanced they had gotten from those small roots in Ireland.
And the small roots in Ireland took them to Spain, but then they came under a lot of heavy pressure when they were based in Spain, and eventually they went to the UAE back in 2016, I believe, which was a real safe haven for them. From there, from those positions in Europe and again in the Middle East, they really plugged in, didn't they, to the big drug trafficking syndicates right around the world, forging connections across the globe, and became almost like logistics experts, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the things. I mean, after they moved to Dubai in 2016, Daniel Kinahan had this infamous wedding in that 7-star hotel, the Burj Al Arab. And at this hotel, there was reportedly an undercover DEA agent who had photographed the top of the top of international cartels. So there was people from the Balkans, there was cartel leaders from Moroccan mafia. And this was when this term super cartel had been introduced. So this showed that Daniel Kinahan was a key figure in this super cartel. All these people were coming to his wedding, and it just exposed kind of how powerful they had gotten.
And what is their expertise? Is it being able to move product, whether that's arms or that's drugs, right around the world?
Yeah, I think that is their expertise. And it's also their ability to make contacts and basically network with other cartels. Like from what I just said there, they were able to create these alliances with these other cartel leaders. And that's reportedly one of their biggest strengths, is that they are able to make these contacts and they're able to get people to work together where others haven't. And I think that's just one of their key assets in terms of how they operate.
You mentioned there the wedding that Daniel Kinahan enjoyed over in Dubai. Can you tell me about their lifestyle there and how they carried out their business and how they lived their lives with their partners, with their wives, with their children in the UAE?
Yeah, by all accounts, they're having a VIP lifestyle. I mean, that's one of the things that we showed in our recent investigation last month, Bellingcat with the Sunday Times, is that even years after the US sanctions were put out in 2022, they're still at the front row of this MMA event in the VIP seats, you know, talking to the event founder, having a nice time with their family. And this is like in the context of all this law enforcement attention that's on them. And so even before that, you know, when there was, before the sanctions happened, Daniel Kinahan was heavily involved in the boxing industry, and they were, you know, living the high life over there. You know, they had multiple businesses, you know, rubbing shoulders with the cream of the crop in the boxing world. You know, Daniel Kinahan was pictured with Tyson Fury. He was the former world heavyweight champion. And this is the lifestyle they were leading over there and seemingly continue to lead until recently.
I want to talk to you about that investigation, and I want to talk to you about your own work in establishing the whereabouts of the Kinahan family and the lifestyle of the Kinahan family. I found it absolutely fascinating to look into this, Conor. It all seems to have started by reports that Christopher Kinahan, who's the, you know, literally the daddy of the group here, the kingpin here, was quite active on social media platforms and loved to give an old Google review.
Yeah, that's true. So we've been doing this investigation in collaboration with the Sunday Times since about 2024. And the initial investigation we did was on Christy Kinahan's Google review profile. So we basically found his Google review profile where he was posting under this alias Christopher Vincent, which is his real first and middle name. And it showed that he'd been traveling all around Europe, around Africa, Asia, the Middle East, from a period between 2019 and mid-2023. So again, this is a period when there was a lot of law enforcement attention on them. But this kind of showed that he was still traveling in and out of Europe, and he was posting, he posted over 1,000 pictures, I think, of his travels, basically leaving Google reviews of places he'd been to. So that's basically how it started. And then from then we continued on, and we've released a few more investigations culminating last month, in this, you know, the most recent pictures we've seen of them in years in Dubai.
So this is one of the world's apparently most elusive drug barons, flying around the world pretty freely, it would appear, staying in luxury resorts, attending restaurants, going to Waitrose was one of his reviews, going to a COVID test centre, I think, was another one of his reviews, doing really ordinary things, giving really ordinary reviews of places that he frequented and taking photographs of himself in various locations.
Yeah, well, he took a lot of photographs, but he was never directly in the photo. What we managed to do was we trawled through all those pictures, and we found 5 or 6 pictures where you could actually see him in reflection of a window, or there's one where there's a mirror right at the end of this long hallway, and if you zoom in, you can see him in the mirror. And there was one picture in particular there where you can clearly see that it's his face, even though it's a faint reflection. So I think he was being careful to not put himself in the pictures. But when you're posting that amount of photos, you're gonna slip up and you're gonna catch yourself in a reflection. That's one of the ways that we could verify that it was him, because we had these reflections that we could compare to pictures of Christy, obviously. So like the reviews he was giving, it was kind of just, it was like, you know, some of them are pretty long as well. I mean, he's going in depth about the food he ate, his interactions with staff, things he liked and didn't like. There's one in particular I remember where he gets irritated because one of the waitresses insisted on calling him boss, which I thought was kind of crazy considering of who he is. So yeah, apparently he doesn't like that. So yeah, that was just, the whole thing was, it was bizarre to see that someone in his position would be putting that information out there about himself.
Yeah, I'm just looking at that review right now. I did explain that I did not like to be called boss, and please could you call me Chris, Mr. Vincent, or Sir. Other than my sensitive disposition and taking the dining experience in its entirety, I would rate this establishment a 4-star. That is a review that Christy Kinahan, the head of the Kinahan cartel, left about a restaurant.
Yeah, it is crazy. It's hard to believe in some ways, but yeah. And that's the way he kind of talks in a lot of those reviews. He's got a very specific way of writing. It's just mad.
And he left another online footprint, and indeed many of his sort of family, or the, I suppose, the supporting cast here, or other members of the cartel, or those who are dating or indeed living with or married to the cartel, they all seem to enjoy a little bit of running.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, so that one of our investigations from last year was on this individual named Oliver Herman, who was reported in the Sunday Times to be an associate of Christy Kinahan. And he was arrested in Australia at the end of 2024 with 200 kilograms of cocaine. So when we found this out, we were like, okay, let's look at this guy, see what kind of online footprint he has. And it turns out he was an avid runner, and that he used the fitness tracking app Strava, where you install the app on your phone and it connects to your GPS and it tracks your runs. And these are all posted on a profile online that's publicly available. So we found that over, I think it was like a 12, 13 year period, he had posted like more than 10,000 runs, and he would basically be running every day because he was training for a marathon. So this basically gave us a detailed overview of all the countries he'd been to over this 10 year period. And we could see in some specific places, the runs he'd been on specific days, actually where the Kinahans had been. Like there was one in Harare in Zimbabwe. He logged a run just outside the city. And we were able to find on Christy Kinahan's Google reviews that Christy said he was at this specific hotel. And this is the day after this guy, Oliver Herman, had logged a run. So we were able to line up those places that this guy had been using both his Strava online activity with Christy Kinahan's Google reviews.
I mean, it was, as I said, absolutely fascinating. And it was good old-fashioned journalism, good old-fashioned investigative work. And I know you used some open source tools as well to establish this pattern that really, I suppose, made it clear that Christy Kinahan was living a very open, very comfortable life within the UAE. And that was very difficult for the UAE because they increasingly were trying to position themselves as this legitimate global financial and business hub.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's been known that they've been there for a decade, and it was a kind of, as the law enforcement attention increased, the fact that this was coming out was definitely, I could see how that would be embarrassing for the UAE.
Yeah, they didn't want to be seen to be hosting this globally sanctioned crime figure. That wasn't really fitting in with that image, I take it, anymore.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think there's a lot of, you know, people involved in organized crime who are publicly known, who have been in Dubai, and it's well known they're there, and they seem to be able to stay there for years. I mean, the obvious example is the Kinahans themselves. And, you know, Christy, you know, Daniel has been arrested, but Christy and his other son, Christopher Jr., are still in Dubai. They're still there, and there actually isn't, it's not clear whether they will actually be kicked out or whether they can continue living there into the future. So yeah, that's another interesting part of this. What's going to happen next with those two?
Yeah, and that's where I want to shift the conversation to now, because I know, as we've outlined there, through your work, you've been tracking the Kinahans for years. So how significant do you think this moment is? And does it leave any sort of a power vacuum within the Kinahan organization?
Yeah, I think it's very significant. Like this is the most a direct attack on the Kinahan leadership from law enforcement in recent years. I mean, like the last time they were arrested was 2010 in Spain, but they all ended up getting released. So this is definitely going to have an effect. In terms of a power vacuum, again, Christy Kinahan and Christopher Jr. are still in Dubai. They're still free. Other members of the cartel are still there, like Ian Dixon and Bernard Clancy, both of whom were sanctioned by the US government in 2022. So there, other people are there to step in. And I'm sure that they will have been prepared for this eventuality to some extent. I mean, this has been reported that it was coming for a long time. So people like the Kinahans would have had some contingency plans. So I'd be surprised if they didn't have a plan for this. And I could see possibly Christy stepping in, take a more hands-on role in the organization to make sure any power vacuum doesn't get out of control. And yeah, I don't think I'd be surprised if there was infighting over this, but we'll see what happens.
Tell me about the roles that Ian Dixon and Bernard Clancy are reported to have within this organization.
Ian Dixon, he is a blood relative of Daniel Kinahan. According to the US government, in the sanctions, he oversees a fund on behalf of Daniel Kinahan, keeps track of money owed by narcotics traffickers. That's his role. And then Bernard Clancy, he's a key lieutenant, and he's involved in kind of admin in the cartel, I suppose. He provides wages to elements in the cartel, payments to others. And both of them would be close to Daniel Kinahan, so they'd be well involved in the operations of the cartel.
What indicators would you be looking out for to suggest that there is advanced planning here to relocate the organisation somewhere else? And how easy is it for them to move internationally?
Yeah, it's a good question. In terms of indicators, I think from my perspective at Bellingcat, we work on open sources. So if what you might look out for is if you could see their family members have started to move out of Dubai, move to another country, if there's evidence of that on social media, that might be a clue that maybe the Kinahans themselves have gone somewhere else. That would be one of the indicators. And I think in terms of relocating, whether they will, if you look back over the last decade, it's been reported a lot that they were going to relocate. They were going to go to Iran, Russia, somewhere in Africa. But in each of those cases, it never seemed to happen. And I think, you know, it is a different situation now. But I think given the roots they have in the UAE, they've got family members there. They've got associates, business interests. I think to start again somewhere else is going to be a big step. There's a lot of unknowns. So I think given the fact that there isn't actually an arrest warrant from the Irish government for the remaining Kinahan cartel members, maybe they'll think it'll be better for them to take their chances in Dubai and just stay put for the time being. But yeah, we'll see what happens.
If they were to consider moving to another country, what is it that they look for? I take it it's much more than just being able to hide out.
Yeah, it definitely is. So they'll want to go to a country that doesn't have an extradition treaty with the United States or Europe, somewhere that is unaligned with Western interests. You know, that's why places like Iran, Russia, Zimbabwe, where Christie actually attempted to set up a base there about 6 or 7 years ago, but it didn't work. So that's a country that's subject to sanctions by the US and Europe. So that's a good option because obviously they're going to be much less likely to comply with a European or American law enforcement request. So that's the key thing they're going to be looking for, is somewhere that isn't aligned with Western interests and where they're going to feel safe if there's an arrest warrant or an extradition request from one of these countries.
Do you believe that Christie Senior or Christie Junior could be expelled from Dubai?
I think it's a possibility, especially given the context of what's happening now with Iran in the UAE. So as I'm sure everyone knows, the UAE has been hit by drones sent from Iran in the last month. And Kinahans reportedly have connections with the Iranian regime and the Lebanese Hezbollah, who are affiliated with Iran. So that is going to make the UAE think twice about, do we want these guys still here? And, you know, maybe we just kick them out, because, you know, that is not a good look if you're harboring these guys. Not only are they being chased by law enforcement for running an international drugs cartel, but they're also dealing with your enemies. So, yeah, I think that is a possibility. But the fact that they've been slow to kick them out in the past just makes me think that, you know, it's hard to say either way. But yeah, again, it's going to be an interesting month or two to see how things develop.
Finally, Conor, do you think the arrest of Daniel Kinahan, and we're not sure yet whether or not he's going to fight that extradition or whether we'll see him in Ireland anytime soon, do you think that ultimately will have any impact on how they operate, on their business model?
Well, we've seen in the past that they're very resilient. I mean, they're able to adapt. You know, they've been sanctioned by the US government. They have this $5 million rewards on their heads, but they still manage to survive and persist and, by all accounts, get stronger. So I think they will have contingency plans for this. They will have alternative choices to go with to make sure that they don't, run into any major problems. So I think it's got to have some effect, but I think they will have prepared for it. And again, it's going to be over the next few months when we see how everything turns out with Daniel Kinahan. And if we see if the Kinahans end up moving somewhere else or getting kicked out, that's kind of when we're going to know that things are getting really hard for them.
Conor Plunkett, thanks so much for taking the time to speak to us and bringing all your insights and your expertise to News Talk Daily listeners.
Thank you very much.
And that's it from us on the pod today. If you've any thoughts on Ireland's most infamous crime family, please share them. You can get me on Instagram @officialKiraD. Love to hear from you. Until tomorrow morning, take care. Goodbye.